Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the service this morning as we come together to worship Christ. I must say, it feels very different standing on this side of the stage as I'm used to over there. Okay, let's start with the opening prayer. Dear God, as we gather today for this church service, we ask for your presence to be with us. We invite your Holy Spirit to fill this place and to guide us as we worship and praise you. May you shine your light in us, through us, and over us, that we can make a difference in this world for your glory and purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, let's read together the call of worship, which is on front of your service sheets, or it's up there. Your love, Lord, reaches the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast in the abundance from your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of the life. In your light we will see light.
Okay, so my talk today is called Kingdom, Power and Authority. We're talking about God's kingdom come this year, where it is God who is on the throne of our hearts, the heart of our church, and we pray the heart of everything. If you can only stay awake for the first 3 minutes of this sermon, this is the bit because it summarises the rest of it, and you'll be able to talk intelligently later on about the sermon. So number one, we're going to talk about authority and power compared. Number two, we're going to talk about submitting to authority, Jesus submitting to God, us submitting to God. Number three, being in a time of empowerment, what the elders believe we are seeing with our spiritual eyes. Number four, how this relates now to Christchurch Swanley and two traps that we might fall into. So please do stay awake for the rest of the talk, but as I said, at least you've got the gist of it. So number one, authority and power. Translations of the Bible often translate authority and power interchangeably, but in the Greek there are two words with different meanings. Authority is the right to rule. Power is the strength or force needed to rule. I need to pause here and give an example of the difference, because it's a difference that will come up through this talk. As the Bible reading is shared, I'd like you to see where there is authority and power. Remember, authority is the right to rule, and power is the strength or force needed to rule. Luke 5, 17 to 26, please.
Good morning. First reading is from Luke chapter 5, 17 to 26. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal those who were ill. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are they thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Great. I hope you saw the power and the authority there. At the beginning, the power of the Lord was present for him, Jesus, to heal. This means that there was an ability or strength to heal. Jesus' power is shown at the end of this section where he heals the man. In this case, there is an outward, visible sign of power. What of the authority? Jesus demonstrates his authority in the middle section. The man is lowered down, and Jesus says to him, "Your sins are forgiven." But the Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" They are saying that Jesus doesn't have the authority, the right, to forgive sins. And of course, how could they have an argument over that? Authority is invisible, so how can Jesus show that he has God's authority? Let's see. Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is it easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And then he heals the man. Jesus is showing that he has God's authority. He is showing that he is God by the power that accompanies the authority. Power is the ability to make the change. Authority is being allowed to do it. So Jesus demonstrated authority, the right to rule, the right to forgive sins, and power, the strength or force needed to rule, through his ability to heal. All clear so far. So number two, submitting to authority. We know that we need to submit to authority if we want to get things done. For instance, for our craft event, Messy Church, Kirsty has been given the authority to organise Messy Church. She has been given the authority, the right, to direct people to move chairs around, organising for the advertising of Messy Church, organising for the people on the craft and games tables to do different things. We give Kirsty that right, that authority, to tell us what to do, and we submit to that. If anyone had just started moving around chairs at the end of the service, whenever they wanted to, you could imagine what state we'd be in. The next week, we'd come into church and look for a chair to sit on. Some of the chairs would be in the toilets, some would have been taken home. There'd be chairs all around Swanley. And I know some of you are commuters too. How does submitting to authority fit in with what we see in the Bible? Jesus had and has all the authority and power. In Maundy Thursday service, we were reminded that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, John 13:3. In John's Gospel, the book written by John, it often says that Jesus did what he saw his Father doing. Ephesians shows us that Jesus has power and authority.
Our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, 18 to 23. It's headed up, thanksgiving and prayer. "I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened in order that you may now know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance to his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen.
Jesus clearly is the head of the church. He has the power and authority. And yet in John, we see that Jesus submitted himself to God. Being in Christ, a Christian, means that we submit to God's authority. Power and authority is not something to be grasped, Philippians 2 reminds us.
Right, the third reading is from Philippians 2, 3-11. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceits. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Thank you, well done. If Jesus, the Son of God, put himself under God's authority, how much more so must we? We are not our own, we were bought at a price. Therefore, we must submit to what God wants for us. Our scrappy, dirty bit of power that we might think that we wield must be given over to God. The amazing thing is that when we humble ourselves, he has room to move and he exalts us. Let's pray now that we can hand over power and authority to God and live in what he wants to give us back. Lord, you are King of our lives. You have power and authority over our lives. All power comes from you. We don't grasp it, we give it back to you. We are happy if you want to work through us or through others. We simply want to align ourselves with what you want. Amen. The Bible also talks about submitting to one another and submitting to governing authorities as long as it is in line with God's requirements. In short, we are not to go around being power hungry for the sake of power and authority. We're to listen to God and draw on his power and authority for his gain. We'll talk more about authority in our church in a moment. The next section is being in a time of empowerment. As elders, we are seeking to gauge where Christ Church is at this time, and as we prayed and talked, we agreed that this can be a time of empowerment for you. I hope we are all encouraged by the way people continue to work in their areas where they have been given authority, and those who have been stepping into new areas of authority by serving in different areas than they are used to. I think a great example of this was Maundy Thursday service. Elders explained that we would need to cancel the service if no one came forward. What an encouragement that Robert came forward and coordinated the service. Robert didn't have to be in charge of it all. He brought in other people. Angela led from the pulpit, but she did it in such a way that honoured others. She opened up a time when anyone could bring forward a word from God. Thank you to everyone who made that service possible. It was a touching service. We saw people that we wouldn't normally see come along, and a number of regulars coming together to hear from God, worship him, and hear from him. It was brilliant. So we see the authority to lead a service was given and shared out. Everybody doing their bit. Joy on the keyboard, Vanessa and Peter on tech, Graham welcoming, and more. It's always dangerous to start a list, isn't it? In case you forget somebody. But each person played their part. And what happened there in terms of power? God spoke to us Many words of knowledge were given. That's jargon for when we believe God speaks to us in our minds about things that he particularly wants to highlight to us. We shared the words, were encouraged, and hopefully it has boosted us to continue to follow Jesus. We need the authority, the right to do things, and we need God's power, strength to do them. I'd love to see people given the authority to do pieces of work and then to do the work in God's strength, power. I'm so encouraged by people stepping back into roles or taking on roles. We've seen some new people doing teas and coffees. Two people come forward interested in eldership. Different people leading services. Isn't this what makes church and following Jesus exciting? When we do new things and learn, where we have to rely on the Holy Spirit and to have faith that it will be okay. The other week, I had someone come to me and say that they knew that God had been nudging them to do something, and they had prayed and prayed, and they still weren't sure what to do, so they just came to have a chat with me. I've given them a couple of areas, and we need to work things through. We might trial a few things, but the main thing is that we're moving forward and making space for God to work. A note of caution, as well as a lot of returning and new faces, I've also been seeing that we are missing some people. Can I give you the authority again, the right to look out for one another, to give people a call or a little message, just to say, hope you're well. You have the right to look out for one another, to pray for those who are struggling and those who seem to be doing well. Number four, how this relates to Christchurch now and two traps that we don't want to fall into. I'm an elder here, so I'm one of the leaders who's been given authority via the church members voting for me, in line with what they believe God wants for our church. As a trustee, I have responsibilities. That means I need to, for example, make sure that the health and safety issues are looked at. It's not that I have to do all of the work for health and safety, but I have the authority to ask for things to happen. So, for instance, Nathan at the back is the health and safety coordinator, and each person who leads an activity in the church should send a risk assessment for that activity to Nathan. I would hope that in the power of the Holy Spirit that they go ahead and do that, working with Nathan if they need any help. Perhaps you think that's not spiritual enough. Can I remind you that administration, ordering and steering things, is listed as a gift of the Holy Spirit? Let's celebrate all the gifts the Holy Spirit wants to be giving us. Each of the elders has different areas of responsibility. And the ideal would be to have a coordinator for each. I want to make that clearer to the church. And I think that this is an area that we can work on. Could you go to the next slide, Peter? Thank you. Cool. So, with Sue joining the eldership team, for the most part, and with George away, we've moved around some of the areas that the elders have oversight for. Sue hasn't been given a whole heap because we're aware that the church meeting agreed that because she's safeguarding officer, it would be too much to give her lots of areas. So next slide, please. So here are the areas that Dave is in charge of. Okay, and under him, the ideal would be that there would be other people that he can delegate to, just like I delegate to Nathan. So yep, that's Dave, and then Karen. So you can see the second one down, health and safety. I have Nathan, pastoral care. Nobody came forward as yet, but Graham is doing some of the work of that coordinator. Welcome team, that's Margaret. And in the week, we sent out a message with the people who are the coordinators for this. And we've had some updates as well, which we'll be talking about at the church meeting. And then I think the last slide, Sue. So she's doing some stuff, but as I said, not as much because she's the safeguarding officer at the moment. I think that's it, isn't it, Peter? Lovely, thank you. Thank you, Peter. We would expect to share these roles out as the eldership changes. Watch out. Anybody who's thinking of becoming an elder? So we also need to know who has the authority in the different areas. So the role descriptions that you were asked to submit to Sue Ryan in January was something that was prompted when I went to safeguarding training from the URC. There are different levels of safeguarding training, and this was one at leadership level. We were told that having role descriptions was important for safeguarding. Part of this is knowing who has been given the authority to do what. It's a big task, and Sue is working on this with others to get these written up. The next stage will be to compare the role descriptions so we can check whether there are clashes. For groups like the pastoral team, we have role descriptions and a handbook. We're trialling one way of working, and we'll review that. My ideal is that each of our areas, including pastoral team, would work towards a simple short, medium and long-term plans, where we are listening and asking God what he wants in the short, medium and long-term. So when I talked to Margaret on the welcome team about this, one of the short-term goals was to have name badges for the welcomers, so it's easier for visitors to see who we are. And there are medium goals that came out of the talk that Andy Twilley did when he visited. And Margaret is working on those alongside others. So this is an area I want to see improved. Clarity over who has authority so that people can be freed up to develop the work. We've had lots of teaching in the past about working in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need to combine this with the structures and systems to make that happen. It won't happen overnight, partly because we are working together with one another, and it takes a bit of give and take, partly because we'll need time to seek God, and partly because we need people in the positions that God is calling you to. And to be honest, this side of heaven, it's unlikely to be perfect, but I do believe that this is an area to work on. I shared some time ago a picture I had of our church. There are two sides, two parents who need to come together, and the birth will be difficult and slow. Those two sides need to come together, the visionary and the functional administrative, if we want the joy of a new life. So, what traps might we want to be wary of? As we pin down who has authority to do things in our church, how are we going to go about it? It feels to me that there could be two scenarios. Scenario one, grasping authority for ourselves, wanting control over things, blocking other people, thinking that we are the only ones who can do things correctly. If you want a job properly, do it yourself. Well, no. If you want to stifle innovation, block others from taking their God-given positions, and burn out, do it yourself. I used the example of Kirsty and messy church chairs earlier. I'm an elder, so to put it bluntly, I have authority over Kirsty. However, she is the leader of Messy Church, so when I work with her, I'm under her. I do what she tells me. If Kirsty were to go rogue and say that she didn't give a hoot about doing a risk assessment, I might have to step back into my role as an elder. But for the most part, I do what Kirsty wants. And to be honest, because I'm not grasping authority when we work together, what ends up happening is a free flow of ideas and different ways of doing things. Between us, we've come up with different ideas and managed to keep Messy Church going through a global pandemic, had activities outside the front of church, had British Sign Language songs during the worship, included evangelism teams, and so on. I think that this is a great example. But things don't always run so smoothly. Here is something that I want to let you know. If you are part of a group of people, you are not going to get your own way all of the time. Sometimes you may not get what you think is God's way. I remember talking to one of our old vicars, Richard Wells, about this. You can see his name on a stone outside. I asked him how he felt when church meetings made decisions that he didn't feel were God's will. He said calmly, "God will sort it out." Sometimes when a decision at church doesn't go our way, we can get angry or upset. Of course we can. If we've had our say, though, and if it's not a matter of heresy, at what point are we prepared to submit to one another, like in the Philippians reading? Have we asked ourselves if it really is God's will? It might be, in which case perhaps we need faith like Richard. However, it might also not be God's will. We never want to dress up something as God's will to get our own way, do we? We all have blind spots, and that's why the church meets together to make decisions. That's why elders decide together. My suggestion to you, if you fall into this category, is this. Spot when you are controlling things, whether overtly or sneakily, and repent. One way to spot whether you are being controlled, you're being controlling, is if you are the only one that can do a job in the church. If that's you, I'd encourage you to make sure you have a shared handbook and discuss how, in a managed way, you can let others in. That might be adapting what you do so that others can be involved. See when your metaphorical hand is tightening. Change your mindset. It might be worth talking with someone about how you can do this. Scenario 2. Not accepting responsibility and authority. Not stepping into positions of authority and then criticising what is happening. It's so easy to moan and criticise what other people are doing. The Israelites coming out of Egypt were so quick to complain about their leader Moses. God and Moses had got a whole nation and escaped slavery. This was a major achievement, yet the people complained. How helpful was that? What progress did that make? I'd suggest that a better way of thinking was when some of the Israelites later took on positions of authority to judge smaller matters that needed resolving. Rather than moaning or complaining, these judges were part of the solution. My suggestion to you, if you're in this scenario, is to be self-aware of when you are criticizing and to seek God for where he wants you to take authority. Think about your mindset. Bring your thoughts to your house group. Often we say, pray about whether God wants you to do this. Sometimes you know already. Sometimes, like that person who came to me, you know God is asking you to do something. And because you are not sure, then you don't do anything. In that case, what can you do? Perhaps you might want to ask other Christians. Perhaps you might want to give something a go. Perhaps you might want to come and speak to the elders. So, we're coming into land. If you did drift off back in the room, guys, we covered authority and power, comparing them. Authority, the right to do something, power, the strength. We talked then about submitting to authority, Jesus submitting to God, us submitting to God. Number 3, being in a time of empowerment, what the elders believe we are seeing with our spiritual eyes. It's a time when you can have the authority and lean on God's Holy Spirit power. Number 4, how this relates to our church now. Having clearer lines of authority and seeing if we fall into the trap of not sharing our authority or stepping into authority to allow God's Holy Spirit flow in our work. It's up to you what you want to do as a result of this talk. You are free. Paul, an apostle and leader in the early church, who had authority and power, wrote the following. Likewise, I leave this in your hands and use Paul's words. Although in Christ I could be bold and ordered you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. In love, I encourage you to put Jesus on the throne of your heart, that he would be the ruler of each person here, of our local and worldwide church, that you would seek to step into the authority and power that God calls you to without overstepping into control. Amen.
Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for choosing each one of us here this morning. We welcome your gracious hand on our lives and praise you. We're grateful that you have your gracious hand upon our lives and give us the opportunity to participate in what you are doing in this world. You involve us in your plans. You choose to use us. So help us to walk closely with you and learn to cherish our freedom, yet be open to be guided by you. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Guard our hearts, give us discernment and guide our feet. Lord, we want to follow the leading of your Holy Spirit. Help us to stay close to you, to know your words and to resist temptation. Help us to keep trusting Jesus. Thank you that you gave your body and shed your blood for each one of us. We pray for all our friends and families that they would have peace that surpasses all understanding and that they would still be able to enjoy their lives even in the midst of difficult times. We lift up those who are struggling at the moment, perhaps feeling alone or downhearted. For those who find themselves on a different life journey due to illness or bereavement. Those with family issues, which they now face, and those with financial problems. Help them not to worry or to be anxious, but to know that you are faithful and that you will take care of them. Gracious Father, please bless and strengthen those who care for loved ones in their homes. Whether these carers choose this path as a career or just find themselves in a caring role for a family member, I pray that you would bless all of them and help them with difficult and upsetting situations. Dear Lord, you hold our world in your hands. You hear your creation groaning, but you have promised to liberate us from its pain. Forgive those of us who haven't used their power wisely. Give us and our leaders the courage to think beyond our own needs and to seek genuine partnership so that all people can experience the fullness of life. We pray for our world leaders whose decisions and policies have the potential to impact the lives of millions of people around the world, people who they may never even meet, know, or be aware of, but who are your sons and daughters. God, we pray that your Spirit will fill our world leaders' hearts and heads, that they might hear the voices of the oppressed and the vulnerable. Please help them to see the impact of their actions and the potential to release healing and hope through just policies. Father, there is so much pain and conflict across the Middle East. We pray for leaders throughout the region and ask you to turn their hearts towards peace. As our leaders and those around the world consider how to respond, please grant them wisdom and insight. Give them patience to break down barriers of suspicion and mistrust, ability to discern personal prejudices, and courage to overcome fear. May your kingdom be established on earth for Jesus' sake. We pray for our town of Swanley and surrounding area. We ask for your protection, Lord, on our roads, our schools, our homes, our green areas. As we move around this place, help each generation to be safe under your umbrella of love, and may each individual know and be aware of the movement of your Holy Spirit. We lift our teenagers up to you, Lord, and ask that you help and guide them through uncertain times. May they find you as their Lord and Saviour. Help them to have the confidence to trust in you in times of trouble or doubt. Lord, we desperately need your wisdom today. Please give us wisdom that is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. We stand in awe and amazement at the people you choose. Help us to see people as you see them, and not by the world's standards, but with your eyes. Bless each one of us here today, Lord, and may we continue to show your love to those we meet during the coming week. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.